What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About the Podcast, that wants you to know that, you know, Chinaman is not the preferred nomenclature, Andy. Asian American, please. My name's Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very, very well. And you too.
I too am well.
Good to hear it, pal.
Now, you may have inferred from that little opening salvo that we're covering my birthday present,
Lebowski. Just 6 weeks out from Terry's big 40th.
I'm not Lebowski, man. You're Lebowski. I'm okay. The dude.
Duder.
No, Duderino, if you're not into that brevity thing. Go on, man.
You know what? I never insisted on anything for my birthday. I feel I'm going to cash in.
You should. Please.
I'm going to cash in. How about that? We're going to watch fucking
Blank Check or whatever.
Now you're talking. That's much better than what I was going to say.
Juice.
still to this day, whenever I send you money, it just the caption is just juice.
Well, Andy, it's been a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you, we almost didn't make it this week, huh?
Yeah, we're here. I know.
We're here.
All the protests, and guys, one more again, can I apologize for our tardiness? That one's on me. I can't even remember the fucking... My car
exploded.
We're on our way to... We have a bit of time for a bit of preamble. So my car...
You'll catch up.
Me and Kerry are on our way to Myla's assessment, finally being assessed for autism. Have the car a month. Now it's an old car still, so you know, you get what you pay for. But fucking engine failure came on in the middle of the motorway. And it was all rattling and we're like, oh no. And just drove it really slow home, waiting for it to blow. And so we couldn't make it to the assessment anyway. And as a result, I couldn't do anything. I was working from home all last week. I had to go into town yesterday, had to get the coach, and there was all the protests. Naively, I was like, because I got into town mad early because I was doing an ad for Carlsberg. It's like Billy Big Time over here. And there was just no way of getting home.
I completely was like out of the loop on this thing.
So was I.
And like I was in a meeting and they were like, yeah, I don't know. Like they were on Teams or whatever. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it home from town. And I was like,
sorry?
What? Like bomb scared? Like what? Is it? And they're like, oh, you know the tractors. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Of course.
Right, yeah. And then like I was asking somebody like, oh yeah, they're like blocking the streets. So I got home on the train yesterday, but it was the most jammed it's ever been.
It's so, like, I went from, we were doing the thing in Stephen's Green. I walked from there to Bus Aris. Little buzz going, because I had a few pints, day pints.
Nice.
And then get to Bus Aris. They're like, no, there's no coaches here. The strike is on. And I was like, okay, where should I go then to get this coach? Like,
I don't know.
Mount Marion, maybe? I was like, Google that. It's like, oh, it's basically back where I left. I was like, okay, I'll go back to there and get to there. He's like, no, I haven't seen any coaches on this road all day, to be honest. I was like,
been
okay.
Dead for 10 years.
And then I'm like, okay, is the Lewis running? I needed the green line. I was like, I'll contact someone in work who lives in Wexford who passes Arklow on our way home and see if I can get a lift. And then I was like, Lewis working all right? Like, red line, no problem. Green line, disruptions. I was like, that's the one I need. So I got there, Stephen's Green, it's like, Lewis in 10 minutes. And I was like, okay. And at this stage, my phone's on 5%. So for any payment or calls or anything like that. And then I check again, it's like, Lewis, it'd be 20 minutes. Because now Stephen's Green was the first stop.
Yeah.
And it was packed. And I was like, oh, I just walked. And I was like, I'll get a taxi up to Sandyford and get the lift there. Literally, I'm up the road, I turn back, the Lewis is just there. I'm like, oh, come on. So, but look,
Bye-bye, Sturgis.
Oh, that's the movie we should watch. Man of the House.
I mean, I'm sure it's sitting there on Disney Plus.
Can we... Here.
Can I just while we're talking about the strikes. Yes, I was in a very immature mood. Yesterday I was like, these fucking farmers, dopey pricks. Here I am squashed in.
Yeah.
After doing a scooch...
You did your due diligence, did you?
Yeah, fuck the government. Like, I didn't realize that we were like, they take like 60%
I thought myself ignorantly yesterday that I'm like, what the fuck are they protesting? What's the Irish government going to do about Trump and Iran resulting in prices going up? Like, well, it's not their fault. And then I was like, oh, actually it is, because they're...
Every other government has lowered their...
Yeah, and they've basically raised it so they don't lose a fucking profit or whatever the fuck.
You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Equally though, I mean, shouldn't...
No, this is peaceful protest.
Well... Yeah, it's peaceful. It's a non-violent protest. But, I mean, why haven't they been arrested if their government are so anti them doing it?
Are you conspiracizing?
No. just ill.
It's not a good look if they arrest all these farmers. Like,
yeah, true.
You know? Are you saying the government thinking, is like, yes,
if
disrupting.
I'm just putting my devil's advocate hat on, why haven't... If me and you parked our cars across O'Connell Street... We'd be moved along.
Yeah, but we're just two civil disobedient idiots as opposed to the nation of farmers in Ireland.
Yeah,
be honest. You know, me and you aren't eating that, you know, lovely steak without the farmers here. We're not eating.
I actually genuinely support the cause. And now that I realise that it was the government is actually just adding it on totally so they don't lose profits. I agree. That it's terrible. But I'm just wondering if they're so anti this, why aren't they?
It's a bad look.
It's like they're not even engaging with them. They're not even replying to them. They're not. It's heard, like, what? It's like, we spoke with other people.
Yeah.
So we're good. Okay.
Somebody's like, they're sending the army. Like, it's real, there's a bomb scare in the school kind of stuff. Like, you know?
I did see Peter McGann's thing earlier. I thought that was really funny. You just hear the shots the army have opened fire on the farmers as he's running through.
I met Pete the other day, actually.
I was bumping into him.
Yeah, man.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, he's in good form.
Good.
Friend of one half the show.
I'm sure he likes me, guys. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, he didn't ask after you. I'll say that. You know.
Not surprised.
Put it that way.
Not surprised.
Hey, I watched a movie.
Did you?
Yeah, because the movie that we were going to cover on the Matt Damon miniseries.
Born?
The Informant.
Oh, we're not doing that?
No, it's off. It got voted off.
That's the one that got voted off?
It's very good.
Yeah?
And it's just sitting there on HBO Max, if you have that with your Now TV subscription.
I like the fact that when you were putting up the poll on Patreon, you were like, The Informant is still good, though, guys.
It got some votes.
Did it?
Yeah, it got some votes.
They inevitably voted Bourne Ultimatum, which we're covering on the Patreon this week.
A low, low fee of €5, you can listen to it too.
That's right. Patreon plug early in the episode.
I'm going for double digits every episode now. I say double digits two times. But it's a good movie. I hadn't watched it in a long time, and it is a very good Matt Damon performance. One of his best, I would say.
I kind of want to see it now. What can we knock off at the end?
Yeah, you can't. They're all
hits.
I mean, we've only got...
Two more?
Two left after Ultimatum, yeah.
The Martian and...
True Grit.
Can we not do like...
No.
All right.
It's very good. Well,
thanks for having me on your show, Terry.
No problem. Always a pleasure. You're going to be having dinner with Crouch on a night.
Informant good anyway?
Yeah, it's very good, man. It's like an hour. It was more different than I remember. Mm. And
what year was it?
It's like 2009. So it was kind of like post-crash? Yeah, post-crash. Post-Cronenberg crash and
post-crash. Best picture, yeah.
So, it kind of, it's like he's moving into a different, I'm done. I've done everything. I've done my big franchise stuff. I've been in my Oscar-winning movie, and now I'm just going to do these weird little things with my friend filmmaker Steven Soderbergh. And it's kind of, when we talk about True Grit, you'll see, this is the phase of his career he's moving into.
All right. Yeah.
Hence, that's why I had it planned.
You do these things for a reason,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm probably not going to watch HBO. I tried to log into Now, actually, the other day. Your passwords, the three variations of your password did not work.
Did it not work last time, though?
No.
Not Ultimatum.
Born Identity. It was on Sky.
Yeah.
Sky Go.
How did you watch it on Sky Go? Andy's?
Yeah.
He has the movies on there?
He does, I'm telling you.
Ultimatum was on it there.
I had no problem watching. I was watching it on the coach on the way to my shoot. yesterday.
Okay.
But anyway.
A film that is less easy to watch somehow. Can't find this movie anywhere.
Born?
Big Lebowski.
What's the story? Why is that?
This is how The Departed. Like, what are these fucking idiots? It's probably music rights, to be honest.
Really?
Music rights are expensive and people don't want
to
license them.
But if you pay for them, can't you just... You've paid for them to be in the movie and then that's it. We're done here.
No, but if you want to stream it. Because like Netflix doesn't own it. Prime doesn't own it.
So like on YouTube, you can't play a song or you'll get pulled off YouTube sort of thing.
Kind of thing, but unless you pay. So like you pay to license that movie from Universal or whatever like that. Like, you know.
It's like they blast you in the ass and then they do a lap around the block and blast you in the ass again. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Once more in the face for good measure.
Oh, well, that's
the worst one as well.
I know from experience, dude.
You mean
you know
like
what I mean?
Coitus?
Not me personally, but a guy I know. Yeah. Well, listen, happy birthday.
Thanks.
First of all. So as his birthday present... Apart from the t-shirt that I got.
I was supposed to wear it today, but I am wearing my Big Lebowski t-shirt.
Oh, well, that's more on my own brand. What's the reference?
Can you read it there?
Jackie Treehorn Productions, of course.
My faded Jackie Treehorn Productions.
It almost adds to the mystique, the fadedness of it, right?
Yeah.
Well, Terry, in a bizarre turn of events, I am going to hit you with a bit of boif.
Hmm.
For the Big Lebowski, released in 1998, directed by Steven Soderbergh.
No. No.
Directed by Paul Thomas Anderson.
No.
Directed by Steven Spielberg. The Coen Brothers.
There we go.
Knew it.
Yeah. Fourth time's a charm.
Care to take a stab at the budget, Terry? This is
yeah,
fun.
This is fun, right? I'm going to say a budget of... 17 million.
15 million. So, folks, if you're not familiar, this is essentially like a Patreon episode that we're doing here. So, if you like this, this is all we do on the Patreon these days, where it's just movie reviews. But normally, Terry is the one asking the questions. And the rule is, if you're within 5 million...
Yeah, or 5 percentage points when it comes to Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
You get...
Then it counts as a win. So, Terry's 1-1 there in the budget. Now, the opening weekend...
I'm going to say like 3 million.
5.5. I really think for opening weekend we should make it a percentage, to be honest. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, next miniseries we can workshop that. That's no problem.
Domestic total?
12 million.
Ooh, 19 and a half.
Oh,
not that far even, away.
Not the 5, though.
Worldwide?
23 million.
That's not even kind of close. 48 million worldwide. So really? it actually, the worldwide gross was performed better internationally, essentially, than at home.
Because they regard this as a
flop.
A bomb.
Yeah.
A flop post Fargo. They didn't realize it made money.
Yeah. Like, so in the end, now, Rotten Tomatoes.
92.
For critics?
Critics.
Oh, I'm sorry. 79.
What?
Yeah.
85.
For audience?
Yeah.
Ooh, 93.
No!
You had them backwards. Yeah. So that's
2 out of 6.
You see? Yeah. It's not that easy, Terry. All right?
All right.
Care for some boif, aka, sure. Well, box office, that's done. And the if part of boif is interesting facts. The Dude is mostly inspired by Jeff Dowd, an American film producer and political activist the Coen brothers met when they were trying to find distribution for their first feature, Blood Simple. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Fucking rules.
Yeah, he was a member of the Seattle Seven, he liked to drink White Russians, and was known as The Dude. In terms of Big Jeffrey Lebowski, the Coens contacted Robert Duvall, who did not like the script.
I heard that.
Anthony Hopkins, who was not interested in playing an American. And your boy, Gene Hackman, who was taking a break from acting. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if he was in it? And Jack Nicholson. Reason not given.
I think it works better that it's not a big name.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I think David Huddleston is kind of perfect.
He's a bit vanilla, though, isn't he? Like,
no, he's class. You know. He's so good.
They decided on David Huddleston. Charlize Theron was considered for the role of Bunny Lebowski. And David Cross auditioned for the role of Brant.
Yeah, that would
Seymour Hoffman. I think that would have worked.
David Cross.
Yeah, no. I think so.
I think Philip Seymour Hoffman is perfection.
He brings, I mean, look, if he's doing it, he'll do it well, and you will think no one could ever do it like this. But I could see a world where David Cross is playing that kind of, a bit more of snivelly.
Because, yeah, or he's disaffected this way, dude, you know, like that kind of like, I'm Gen X.
Oh, what could this possibly be?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Really sarcastic, like, no, dude.
The Coen brothers wrote The Big Lebowski around the same time as Barton Fink. When the Coen brothers wanted to make it, John Goodman was filming episodes for Roseanne and Jeff Bridges was making Wild Bill. The Coens decided to make Fargo in the meantime. You probably knew that.
Good decision. Yeah.
It's John Goodman's favourite of the films in which he appears. John Goodman stated that the dude referring to The Big Lebowski as a human paraquat was the one and only improvised lines to make it into the final film, and virtually every other line, including every man and dude, was scripted.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, like the
level
would think,
the level of crosstalk in this movie.
Yeah,
between Donnie, dude, and Walter.
Yeah,
that is all like
heavily scripted, like
scripted to a T, almost like. The fact that it flows so organically and naturally, you're like, holy hell.
It really works. Yeah. Really good dynamic between them all. Before filming a scene, Jeff Bridges would frequently ask the Coen brothers, did the dude burn one on the way over? If they said he had, he would rub his knuckles in his eyes before doing a take to make his eyes appear bloodshot.
That's good.
In an early draft of the script, the dude's source of income was revealed. He was heir to the inventor of the Rubik's Cube.
I did hear that before.
But they got rid of it, which is probably for the best. And one more little bit left. So they did write for John Goodman and Steve Buscemi, but they didn't know who was going to get the Jeff Bridges role. You probably know this already, but Mel Gibson was considered, but he did not take the pitch too seriously. Bridges was hesitant to play the role. He was worried it'd be a bad example for his daughters, but his daughter, Jessica, convinced him to take it after a meeting. And you probably know this very well, but he used his own clothes as the wardrobe, because he basically was basically like that in the 70s, he said.
Yeah, and there's nobody else that could.
Mel Gibson would have been a crazy choice. Like, Mel Gibson has just, I've never, like, when I look at Mel Gibson, I just want to put a little blanket on him and just sit him in a chair and just give him a cup of tea.
No.
Yeah. He's got such like fire in his eyes. You know what I mean? But like that kind of crazy fire where I'm like, oh, I wish I could just
take some of these. Thank you, doctor.
I wish for once someone could stop the voices in my head.
Why did they come to me to die?
Screaming. Why did they come to me to die?
Why did they come to me to die?
I just feel like that's Mel Gibson's head. Like, yeah. I would love to just settle him down and be like, it's all okay.
But like, if you think about him, I mean, that's it. That was, he was Mad Max. He was Riggs. Like, those are he's crazy. And then like in the 90s, he kind of settles into like, apart from Braveheart, I guess, but like stuff like Maverick. Like, he's like a bona fide, charming movie star.
Yes.
Like, oh, you know.
Hey, Maverick was great. Was Maverick a hit?
I don't know. I watched it there again recently.
I mean, it's not, is it?
It was on TV. It's not very good. Like, I'm like, oh, the big poker showdown. It's like two hands. I'm like, that's it. Look at your goddamn card. Like, it is great. Like, look at your goddamn card.
Look at your goddamn cards.
Yeah. And he's like, all this money makes me just want to take it. Coop?
Yeah.
How can you do it?
That's so good. All right.
What did you think of the movie?
I thought it was excellent.
Oh, Andy.
Excellent.
Makes me happy.
And do you know what? I kind of went into it a bit like, I've seen it, it's all right. But this time around, I got it. You know what I mean?
It takes a while to get it, I think.
Yeah, and I kind of, but now I can't believe I never got it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's it. Once you're through the looking glass, you're like, of course.
It's like you break the seal. It was like with like 30 Rock, and you know these where it's like, don't like it. Oh, it's genius. Yeah. Oh, now I get it.
It's just that easy. Like, but I remember thinking like the second or third time watching, I was like, so like the kid has the money, or like he still has the money. Like for a long time, you're thinking, so when are they gonna get the kid with the money? And it's like, oh, actually, like it all ties up quite nicely to nothing. Like it's such a nothing plot, but like,
yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Like the first couple of times I was watching, I was like, yeah. So like, so what are they gonna do with Larry?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, Larry's not important. Don't worry about him. Don't worry about it. Like, Larry's just there to have a funny scene with the car. They're gone completely off course.
That's literally all it is.
Like, this is the linchpin to the case. Larry.
This little scene. Yeah. My only issue with it was that I thought Steve Buscemi was criminally underused.
That's the secret sauce, though, Andy.
But is it? Like, they didn't give him anything. They didn't, like... Like, no, the whole thing of like, oh, the part was written for him. I was like...
They gave it to him.
Yeah, but like...
He's the heart.
He is the heart, I guess.
Like, it's so sad when he dies.
But they... Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, they give him nothing. Like, they really give him no chance to... They give him, like...
I disagree.
But like, what do they give... What does he do?
Even the bits we add to it. These men going to hurt us, Walter? He's like, no. Like, he's so protective of them.
Yeah.
Like, no, Donnie, these men's a coward. Don't worry about it. Like, you know, like,
it seemed like everything was just like, shut the fuck up, Donnie. Or, well,
that's,
know, like,
that's the dynamic. Yeah. Because he's like, he is annoying. I look, this time around, I'm like, he's fucking annoying. He's like wandering in mid conversation. It's like my mom sometimes. Like, what are you talking about? Like, sorry, I'm just 5 minutes into this story here. I can't start the whole thing over again.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's it? I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're having a conversation over here. You don't need to interrupt. And like, he's just like,
what?
He's like, who took your rug, dude?
You're
out of your element, Donnie. Like, you were bowling. You weren't part of this conversation.
I like the fact that you also never see the dude bowling at all.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
The is whole, he good?
Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of like John Goodman is obviously like a tour de force in it.
Criminal that he wasn't nominated.
Because it was a comedy and they turned their nose down.
He's never been nominated. Can you believe that? Like,
Do you know he was fucking brilliant in 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Really good.
And made the movie. Like, he was incredible.
Like, 10 years later, he might get nominated for like Best Supporting Actor for 10 Cloverfield Lane. The way Oscars...
10 years later?
Yeah. If that came out in...
Oh, right.
24 rather than 2014 or whatever it came out.
What's the word? Dirge?
Well, it's just like, you know...
Good stuff these days. Like, no, that would be...
But it's just they've opened their minds a little bit more. Since Get Out, they've opened their minds again to horror and horror performances in the Oscars.
Yeah.
They did in like the 60s and 70s, you know, Rosemary's Baby and, you know, Exorcist and stuff like that. And then it was like 80s, 90s, horror can fuck off, 2000s. Like,
completely.
And then they've kind of come back around on it now. Like. But he was really good in 10 Cloverfield.
Yeah.
Especially like when he shaved.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, you're fucking creepy now. Creepy before, but now.
And he's huge in that as well. I remember, like, he's skinny now.
He's skinny
like,
now.
But, like, he's still alive, right?
Yeah. He's in the new Tom Cruise movie, Digger.
It's supposed to be good. It's Tom Cruise. Yeah. Doesn't matter, does it?
Tom Cruise, I'm wearing a lot of facial prosthetics, apparently.
Ooh.
He's, you know.
Now you're talking
about wearing language. A mask.
Now you're teeing my L, Terry. Yeah. But
I have some notes.
Please.
Yeah, I have some notes because I watched it on the Blu-ray. Shout out to Thomas Sutton for hooking a brother up.
Big Tommy.
Looked fucking great on the transfer, I have to say. Sure. My first note that I have is what a tremendous job they do in the opening voiceover. His voice is like velvet,
Sam
Elliott. But like, they talk about the dude, and like, they do such a tremendous job. And then like, at the end, it's like, sometime there's a man.
Yeah.
Sometime there's a man. Like, oh, I lost my train of thought. It sums up, but like, him, and like, while that's all happening, like, him sniffing the milk, paying for it with like, check for 69 cents. I'm like, oh, I know exactly who this guy is.
Yeah, straight away. Yeah.
And then immediately the two guys, like, burst into the apartment and, like...
I like the fact
stick
that
his head in the toilet.
Like. Yeah, like, I love the fact that it's just, like, the idea is, like, just the rug that ties the room together. Like, that's it. And, like, even, like, when he says it to John Goodman, it's like, but that tied the whole room together.
Did it not? Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Walter.
Like, there's so many lines that I'm sure you know by heart, but, like... Like so many lines where it's like, I know this is the sort of movie because like I laughed at a lot of lines, but I can't remember what they are now. But like I know this is one of those movies that like if I watched it like another time and another time and another time, I pick up another bit.
Constantly finding
I
new
feel like
stuff,
it's like, loads, like even just a little thing of when he was talking about like being on tour with Metallica, like a bunch of assholes. You know,
like, what were, like the thing I picked up on this time is like they're like shoving his head in the toilet and he's like, where's the money, Lebowski, where's the money? He's like, it's in there somewhere, let me have another look. Like I'm like, oh, like he's cracking wise from the start. And you get that, you know, he's like, does this, there's no woman here, man. I'm not married. The toilet seat is up. And then he's like, whoa. He's like, yeah, if you took one look around the place, you'd realize he's not a billionaire.
I wonder.
Or he takes the bowling ball out. He's like, what the hell is this? Like, obviously, you are not a golfer.
Yeah, like, I wonder if they should have kept the, well, no, actually, I'm glad they didn't, the whole Rubik's Cube.
No, I like not like I like the idea.
What's
that, like,
his deal?
He has no money.
Plus, like every joint that he smokes is like the
Love that touch.
It's like he's never.
That
smoking
is a bummer. Full. That's a bummer, man. That's a bummer.
It's constantly.
That's like the biggest one. The biggest one he's smoking is when he goes to the house and he's like, "Mind if I do a J?" Yeah. he's reading the ransom note, being like, that is a bummer. It's a bummer, man.
Apparently, like, the director or whoever, like, only realized it was, like, a cult following, like, years later. When some movie theater was running a night of it or something, and everyone was dressed as the dude and quoting it, and then there's a dude fest and all this.
He goes every year.
Yeah.
The real dude goes to dude fest, and, you know, like...
I like that they have embraced...
Is there, if you got 3 hours, if you like listening to 3 hour podcasts,
I do not.
My beloved Blank Check, they did all the Coen Brother movies last year, but they had Seth Rogen on for the Big Lebowski episode. And like he, obviously he's a huge fan.
Yeah.
He said he'd met the guy who played, and he's like, he is kind of annoying, but like.
Oh, yeah, like the real dude.
But he's like, you know, like a lot of the stuff in there is real, like, you know. Wow. And like, he's like, I've been to these houses that, you know, that are around the place that are in the movie and stuff like that. Like, it's all very taken from LA. You know what I mean? Like, maybe in LA of 30 years ago, but like it's...
And this isn't set in the 60s, is it?
It's set in like 91, but like you would be forgiven to presume that it's set in 98 when it came out. Like, you know what I mean?
I wouldn't have thought that of it.
It's just that they have the George Bush at the start and Saddam Hussein and stuff. Is in it, like, there's a great thing, and I picked up on it the last couple of times I've watched it, is like how this movie is full of echoes.
Oh,
and
like dude, literal echoes,
not literal, but like the dude will see George Bush being like, this aggression will not stand.
Oh,
then like four scenes
this
later,
will not stand, man.
You know, like, or like in the parlance of, he will just pick stuff up and like reuse them, or there's stuff from other Coen Brothers movie that's like in it, like Peter Stormare, who plays Uli Kinkel, the nihilist.
Oh yes,
with Cadaver Johnson.
Yeah.
He's like in the IHOP, the House of Pancakes, Lingenberger Pancakes, and in Fargo, where he plays one of the killers. It's like all he wants to do is go to Pancake House. Want to go to Pancake House. So there's all these little kind of like echoes from earlier stuff or earlier stuff in the film repeated later on in the movie.
And do the Coen Brothers do comedy?
Yeah, all their movies, like Raising Arizona, they do either comedy or like Pitch Black.
What's their, can you give me a quick, just from memory, like their big movies that they've
done? No Country for Old Men, Fargo.
Wow, they really mix it up, don't they?
Yeah, True Grit, we're doing next on the Patreon. They're like, what would you say? Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? George Clooney.
Wow.
Like Raising
they're
Arizona.
Good.
We did. I put them on the list to do, and you're like,
no,
I don't like them.
No.
So we'll circle back.
No, somewhere. It's okay. Here, I'll ask you this question on the Patreon episode, actually. No,
okay.
I won't derail.
Best opening credits ever, maybe?
Can't remember, what were they?
Bob Dylan, The Man and Me.
Oh yeah,
and the bowling alley.
Yeah,
and it's just like,
oh, with the going true and
it's just like, it's just everybody, like, you know, there's a big black guy and he's like,
yeah,
going to like do the like pin off the other one, or like somebody gets a strike and it's just a side shot of their belly.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know? I was just like, this seems like a real happy place for people. Like, you know, like,
do you know, like
a safe space or something.
I kind of just feel like the movie was better than it needed to be. And I can't quite figure out, is it the dialogue? Because the plot is fairly basic, you know. Well, it's not, that's probably unfair, but the
plot is
like, is
loose.
It the dialogue? What is it? It's the
everything.
Casting?
It's everything.
Is it just
it's
like
the attention
just
to
melded
detail
together? Like,
but like,
yeah.
It's a loose, like, you know, they love Raymond Chandler, you know, L.A. detective noir stuff. But he's not even a detective in this. He's just kind of a guy that's just bumbling around.
Yeah.
These things, you know, the like how the kidnap plot is never a kidnap plot, and you know that, and then like, you know, it all gets unraveled at the end. But it's the attention to detail, it's the like the little scenes in between that make them so, like, even when his car gets stolen.
Yeah.
Oh no, and the rug and the two police officers.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, tape deck and Credence. And then like the phone goes off and it's like, Jeffrey, I took your rug. And he's like, ooh, that's one solved. He's like, wouldn't hold out much hope for the Credence. the other cop. Like, just like little scenes like that are like, they're way better written than, you know, any regular movie. You know,
like,
what I mean? Like,
it's so strong. Even the kind of more throwaway bits are just needlessly good. I think that's what makes it a bit more. Because I was trying to think when I was watching, like, what makes this over, say, you know, Like, I remember this and Kingpin coming at the same roughly
this is
the
way
same
better
time.
Than Kingpin.
And this,
I love Kingpin, don't get me wrong.
Like, and like, yeah, but like, but that's what I mean. Like, they're both kind of bowling movies. Kingpin's probably a bit more bowling heavy.
Yes.
But like, what, like,
Kingpin is a sports movie. This is not a sports
movie.
Yeah,
like the bowling is almost like irrelevant.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
just
what I mean?
It's part of the patina or whatever you want to call it. Like, you know?
But I'm trying to think what makes a movie like this a cult, and I think that's the bit. That's the answer. Is those little,
and the characters, the three main characters, and then, like you say, you have Brandt, who is Philip Seymour Hoffman, when he's introduced. Like, he is so fucking good. Where I have written down, he's just like his laugh, like ha ha ha, you know, and he's like necessary means to. Or like, dude cracks a joke, he's like, ha, 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 you never went to college, you know. And then you get Huddleston like bursting in, he's like,
well,
Brandt told me, you told Brandt, he told me, what do you want me to do about it? Like,
yeah,
and he's like repeating it back, and I'm like, hello, do you speak English? am I supposed to give everyone who's wrong? Like, and
I like
the dude
that, yeah,
just like shutting down. Like,
yeah,
he's like, all right.
He
man.
Said to take any rug.
yeah, cool. He said take any rug in the house.
He's like, okay.
And then like Brandt is like, yes, of course. Like walking out, and then you get like Tara Reid pre American Pie.
Is that pre American? Yeah, 98.
Yeah, it's like, I'll suck your cock for $1,000. Like, but not Brent. He has to pay 100 if he gets. So I was like, what a wonderful woman. You know, like, it's just, you can see him like bursting at the seams.
Yeah, it's just
like,
so uncomfortable.
And like, I never picked up one of the first few times, but like Uli Kunkel, the man, like, God, I've got Johnson, is like asleep in the pool.
Oh, is he?
Like the kidnapper is asleep in the pool.
Never
like 10 minutes into the movie, like, you know.
Apparently I seen on the trivia that your man John Turturro,
yeah,
that like he actually thought he had more, he thought the role was bigger when he took it on, but I think as a result of it not being as big as he wanted, like he was able to improvise a lot. So I think that ball shining thing was him.
There's the tongue,
yeah,
was him as well. And like the tongue,
and some of the dancing or something was him. And
like, I was watching it when they do the whole Hotel California, and I was like,
oh yeah,
fucking incredible, let's fucking go. Because it is just a Spanish guitar, you see him doing the tongue,
yeah,
and then like he gets the strike and his little like jog, doom doom doom,
he's
doom,
got moves
doom,
like,
doom, doom, yeah. It's like, it's just fucking great. And then like the way they shoot it is like the dude like slouched back being like, fuck. Donnie is like turned around being like, what's going on? And like Walter is just like staring daggers.
Yeah.
And when he comes up, like, we've actually skipped a really big scene, like, Mark Ajuro over the line.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's fucking smoky, man. Yeah. You know, Mark, hey, dude.
That's like, I think John Goodman for me in this, of just like his energy in it, where like, Even when he's trying to be calm, yeah. you know, it's just simmering yeah. on the surface the whole time that he could blow at any second. Yeah. And I just love
like,
that.
Takes out the gun, you mark a fucking zero. Like, Walter, man, they're calling the cops. And like another joke that I didn't pick up until like fifth watch is like they go outside and they're in the car. And then the cops show up.
Yeah,
and they run inside. Yeah. And they're just sitting there talking. They're oblivious. Like, yeah. It's like, am I wrong? Like, you're not wrong. You're just a fucking asshole, man.
It's like, he has no...
they don't...
He doesn't give a shit about what it means for anyone else. Like, he'd be like, he'll just go.
And the dude is just completely oblivious to the cops, like, running yeah, yeah. in. Like, but, like, even, like, they're calling the cops, man. Put away the peace. but the thing then with Jesus... Where he's like, you try and pull that shit with me, I'll snatch that gun from you, stick it up your ass, and pull the trigger till it goes click. Like, Jesus, you said it, man. Brandt opening the doors when it comes to like the hostage, the kidnapping plot. And he's like, he's in here. And like he opens the door,
oh,
and
yeah.
he puts his head down, like, leans him in.
What
8-year old dude? he's like that. I use it all the time. That like Quintana man, that creep can roll. He's like, yeah, but he's a pervert dude. Like what? He's like, no, he got sent up to prison for it. He had to go door to door. telling people when he moved to Hollywood, and then like after that big speech, he's like 8-year-olds, dude. Like that's the kind of shit that like
he's so self-assured.
But like the writing is so self-assured. Yeah. I was like, they have this big conversation between Jesus,
yeah,
and then it's like just that little like punctuation point, like 8-year-olds, dude.
Yeah,
you know, like
and like the whole thing with when he's smashing up your man's car. The kid's
oh,
car,
yeah.
And like apparently, what was the line that they changed it to?
So this is what
happens when you
find a stranger in the Alps yeah. for TV. When you find,
when you
a,
find
stranger
in the Alps,
yeah. when like, you fuck what? A stranger in the ass, like just sticking on the Walter stuff where he's yeah. like he picks him up for the handoff. And I never like it's another thing. It took me a while to notice. He picks him up outside soap check security. So you're like, oh, like he runs like a gun, you know, shop or a pawn shop or something. Like they never tell you what he does for a living.
Yeah.
But there's just a sign that says Soap Check Security. He's Walter Soap Check. I'm like, that makes so much sense for his character.
Yeah.
The fucking yellow like, glasses.
Suspects everybody.
Yeah, and he's like, I'll sell you guns or whatever. And then like when they're doing the handoff.
Yeah.
He's like, we?
He's like, yeah, yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. His mannerism on the phone, like fuck. He's like, yeah. I mean, I'm not driving the car, handling the money, taking the phone yeah, call yeah. the whole time. He's like, hangs up, like you fucked it up, man. You fucked it up. And then he's like, yeah. here's what we're gonna do. I roll out, grab one, beat it out of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, okay, go time. Here, you take the wheel. I'm gonna take the Uzi. Like Uzi. He's like, you didn't think I was rolling out of here naked, did you? Complete. Like all that happens is the car gets shot up.
Yeah, yeah.
And like he's like, fuck it, dude. Let's go bowling. And that's this next scene. The phone, the stupid big phone, is ringing. And it's like that poor woman, man. They're gonna kill her. And then like, oh, that poor woman. They're gonna. She kidnapped herself. You said it. And he's like,
he doesn't believe
maybe.
Anything.
Yeah, but like Walter like jumps to like so many conclusions where like
yeah.
the dude is like, she probably kidnapped herself. She owes money all over town. It's like, that fucking bitch.
Yeah.
That fucking bitch. He becomes like convinced of it immediately.
Straight away.
Immediately. Like that is gospel truth.
I feel like he could like flip-flop though because he'd be like, you'd say like, they had the fucking toe with the pen. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, so no one can. So,
you know, like, I get your toe away. By 3 o'clock tomorrow if you want. Like, you know? Yeah. And then the bit at the end of that scene when they go outside is like, where's your car, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Hmm? Was that from?
That's what, dude, where's my car?
Ah.
Where's your car, dude?
For a second, I was going to ask a really dumb question. Like, did they get that from Dude, Where's My Car?
Afterwards. Dude, Where's My Car? Like 5 years later.
Five?
Yeah, I think it's like 2003, like.
Wow.
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 I do like the Bob Dylan dream where he's stoned.
Where he's going through the legs and stuff?
He's in the bowling ball. He's following.
Oh yeah, yeah,
Maud, because Maud took the carpet, and in the dream he's like flying, and she's on the carpet, and then like he's holding the ball, and then like when the he's like tiny, and the ball is rolling towards him, he's like, oh
yeah,
and like then the camera is in. Like,
the effort on those sequences, like the dream sequences, were really impressive. Like,
but like that is one of the most, like, what goes through your mind that you're like thinking, oh, we're going to do the shot from inside the ball now.
Yeah,
and we're
going
to roll towards it, and then the dream is over. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That and the scene where he goes to Jackie Treehorn's party.
Yeah.
And it just kind of cuts to, like, black, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just, like, a naked woman floating.
Yeah, yeah.
And then down, and then back up. And then it cuts to like the guy being like, oh, like the big, and I was like, but like, how do you write that? Like, how does that come out of your brain? Like, how does that come out of your brain?
Because I thought there was so much, like, I was like, that's a like auteur, like, sort of scene.
I don't know where.
Like, it has no business in this movie, but it does. Incredible,
and it has no business in the movie, and yet it's completely of a piece, because when it's like you're looking under a microscope. And then you adjust it and you're further out. And it's like, oh, it's a beach party that you know, porno filmmaker is hosting. Yes, of course. Like,
let me ask you, what did you think of Julianne Moore's character in it?
I thought she's great.
Like, there was a scene in it where he kind of meets her. That made me laugh a lot. I'll butcher the line. Where, like, she's saying something and that guy who's with her, her little assistant.
Knox Harrington.
Yeah. He's laughing. Like, who the fuck is this guy, man?
Friend with a clipped asshole. David Thewlis, like, he's so good.
Is he David Thewlis? Is he like a proper, like, wow?
He's a proper English actor. Now that you say his name,
I'm like, oh, he's that sort of like hoity toity sort of English actor.
He's like a little weird skinhead and guy. He's like,
weasel.
He's like, would you like a drink? He's like, yeah, White Russian. Bar's over there. like the dude sits there like, oh.
Did it make you go through a phase of drinking White Russians, this movie?
Not casually, but not I would on a night out if we're getting a cocktail.
Is there milk in it?
Yeah.
Was it milk and vodka?
If you remember my stag do, milk, vodka, Kahlua.
Oh.
If you remember my stag do, the second day, I got like sunstroke or something like, I remember being like puking up at dinner. Couldn't keep dinner. I get fish because it's like grand.
So that'd be the worst thing to eat. No, if you're sick.
I wouldn't be eating red meat or, you know, like that, or like chicken. Could turn
chicken
on you.
Chicken would be fine.
Yeah, maybe. But I had it was like fish, beer battered, fish and chips, like, you know. And I remember like puking up in the bathroom, being like, oh, I'm fucked. And like, this is like 7 o'clock.
On my own stag.
And I remember like coffee was like, got me some like shot. He's like, that'll clear your stomach out. Some weird.
How does he know these things?
He's a mixologist. But then we were drinking White Russians after it, and they ran out of White Russian material because I was having so many of them. But it was perfect because I was like, this is actually, like, you would think, oh, this might curdle my stomach. No, this is so easy to drink.
Smooths it out.
Yeah.
Do you know, I only had an espresso martini for the first time at Gary's Stag.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking sensational.
If you don't like coffee.
No, you'd hate it, but.
Not for me.
It's more about the glass. The glass is the issue for me. I'm like, what is this? Just give me a little thing with some ice in it, you know?
What else we got? Julianne Moore, like, in straight off the set of Jurassic Park, The Lost World.
Oh.
Boogie Nights the year before, Magnolia the next year.
She was so hot.
I mean,
figuratively. Well, literally, too. But, you know, she was...
She's so good
in everything. She's good in everything, though. I've never seen her not be brilliant.
She's one of our great... actresses.
She actually is, isn't she? Has she won an Oscar before?
She won one later on in her career, but it's like she'd been nominated like 6 times.
It was
like
one of those career Oscars.
Yeah, and you're like, you could have given it to her like for 3 better movies at this point, like, you know?
Yeah.
I love the scene. So he's getting driven home from her place, and he's talking to Dom Herrera, the limo driver, and he's like, my wife's cheating on me, I got a bunch of hemorrhoids, but what, I can't complain. Like, yeah, and dude not even listening, like, yeah, man, I got a picking up that it's a joke. He's still like, I got a rash, man. And then he gets out and he's like, gets like manhandled into the next one. He's like, careful, man, there's a beverage here.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, well, Lebowski.
Yeah.
And he's like, Nothing is fucked, man. Like, nothing is fucked. Yeah. The goddamn plane has crashed into the mountain.
Yeah. What's he been in? What's he
Huddleston?
On? Yeah, what's
I,
what have I
known That's
him
what
from?
I know him from this. Just like, this? Yeah, it's his big one for me. Like, you know, I always confuse him with the guy from, he's in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Pappy O'Daniel Sr. Oh, and he's the voice of like Peter Griffin's dad in Family Guy.
Oh, yeah.
Peter. Yeah. he's quite similar, but they're different. And then you get the dude and Walter at the they're in the diner.
Oh yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna have to ask you to lower your voice. Excuse me, dear, let me tell you, the Supreme Court has widely rejected Breyer Stained. I'm finishing my coffee. I'm cool. I'm calm. Calm with you.
He's great.
And then you get Sam Elliott.
Who?
Sam Elliott, the stranger, showing up.
Drawing a blank.
He's the mustache man.
What kind of picture this guy?
He's the cowboy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I just think he's got a. That's his voice.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. Yeah. And obviously sounds incredible, but like, show me more of this guy. Like,
you have to use so many cuss words, dude.
Yeah.
But you like, got sarsaparilla.
I forgot the ending as well. I forgot that, you know.
The ending, so
there's
like,
a fight, and then he's kind of like, I'm like, oh, like, you know, when it cuts to him being dead, I was like, oh.
It kind of, like that, about the halfway point is the stranger appears. They have a scene. He disappears.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I always think it's really interesting that they put him in there. Then the next kind of thing that happens is he finds the page in his car.
Yeah.
And then they go to the show, the live show. And then they go to Larry's house and they fuck a stranger in the ass. And I'm like, my car!
Yeah.
I kill your car.
He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. He's like, my car, man.
My car, I just bought that car. I'll kill your car.
The fact that the kid's just saying nothing, and he's like, is this your homework?
Is this your homework?
Like, okay.
Like, we know it's your fucking homework, man.
Is this your homework, Larry?
Just ask him about the car, man.
Is this yours, Larry? Is this your homework, Larry?
Is that your car out front?
Is this your homework, Larry?
We know it's his fucking homework. Where's the fucking money, you little brat?
Look, Larry, have you ever heard of Vietnam?
Oh,
you're entering a world of pain, son. We know that this is your homework. We know that you stole a car.
And the fucking money.
And the fucking money. And we know that this is your homework.
We're gonna cut your dick off, Larry.
You're killing your father, Larry. All right. This is pointless. Okay. It's time for plan B. You might want to watch out that front window, Larry. Son, this is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass! Language problem here. Little prick stonewalling me.
Walter! What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Here you go, Larry. You see what happens? You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens? Larry. This is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass, Larry. This is what happens, Larry. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass? This is what happens. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens, Larry? Do you see what happens, Larry, when you fuck a stranger in the ass? This is what happens, Larry. This is what happens, Larry. What happens, Larry? What happens when you fuck a stranger?
What the fuck are you doing, man? Stop it!
Hey, man.
I just bought that fucking car last week!
Whoa!
I'm gonna fucking kill you! I just bought the fucking car last week!
Come on, man.
I'll kill your fucking car,
no,
man!
No, no, hey, you. Hey, that's not his head!
God damn it! Fuck you!
No.
You like that? Fuck you!
No!
I'll kill your fucking car, man!
He's like, We know. Just give us the money. It's like,
you little
you're
shit.
Killing your father, Larry. Yeah. And a good day to you. Actually, one of the funniest lines I thought, and it's like, does he still write? And like, he's in an iron lung. Yeah. And the like housemate's like, no, he has health problems. Like, yeah. Yeah, he can see. Like, he's in an iron lung.
There's something about the slow losing of the cool of yeah. like, you know, is that John Goodman is already
you're killing
popped,
your father.
But like, he's like, all right. You know, like, and he's just going to the comedy to the car, but like, you can see, like,
kid, stonewall. I mean, he's like wearing like a really like tight fitting white shirt as well. Yeah. Like, it's
an iconic character.
Yeah. And then, like, pretty much then you get Jackie Treehorn, you know, you get yeah. that scene. And I have a theory, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think Jackie Treehorn drugged him?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the conventional thinking, I think.
100%.
I like to think, though, that maybe
he just overdid it.
Because he mentioned it, like, the occasional acid flashback. And I'm like, wouldn't it be funnier if it's like he's just having a white Russian and then he just has, like, an episode?
But did anything happen at the end of his...
No, that's the thing. Like, he's running in Malibu and he's arrested.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
then your man is like, I don't like you. I don't like your jerk-off
yeah,
name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't like your jerk-off attitude. Yeah. I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like yeah. you. Jerk yeah. off. Like, am I making myself clear?
I feel like you've used that line. Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. Like, just the coffee mug yeah. to the head. Like, stay out of Malibu, Lebowski.
Yeah.
And then the next scene is the Eagles.
Yeah.
Which is so, I mean,
I
you
think
know,
of that line. Like,
I had a rough night. I just yeah. hate the fucking
Eagles.
I love how they chose like a militant black man to be driving. It's like, fuck yeah. you, man. Yeah. Music. It's like, oh, this is the hill you want to yeah. die on. Like, yeah. This man,
he's had enough.
He loves the Eagles, or he just doesn't want anybody. It's like,
it's not even a yeah. bad request.
He
like,
just pulls
just
over, like, throws him out yeah. of the car. And then, yeah, like, he gets home.
It's very, like, yeah, you know, I just, like, I kind of like, even though I've seen it possibly twice before this.
I've seen it like 30 times.
Like, I didn't remember a lot. I didn't remember that Donnie dies. I remember the scene where he opens the thing and it goes all over him when it happens. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
That's so sad.
And I was kind of like, but it's funny just in the sense of like, that's really good in the way he just stays totally still. He's just like he knows yeah. like, this fucking,
then,
you know,
like, he's like wiping some off himself like, oh.
And then, yeah, like, and while the fact that he's slow to turn around, it's like, oh, sorry.
And then it's just a hug. I'm like,
yeah,
dude is just like limp, doesn't want anything to do with him. He's like, come on, let's go bowling.
Yeah,
and it's like, it is their safe space. They go back there, and like, you know, the shootout. I think the fight with the Nihilist.
Yeah,
where he's like, give us the money, Lebowski. He's like, you don't yeah. have the fucking girl, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, they're like huddling up, and he's like, we still want the money.
Yeah, yeah.
My girlfriend lost her toe. And then
oh, yeah,
Paul's
yeah.
like, what's mine is mine. Like, fuck you. He's like, yeah. and he's like, you just give us what you have on you, and we'll call it even.
Yeah.
The two of them were like, he's like, I got four, almost five.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I got $18.
Yeah.
And just then, everything that happens after that, like, with
yeah.
the ripping off of the ear, the bowling ball.
Oh, yeah.
I fuck you.
Yeah.
And
really
then that's
good.
When Donnie has a heart attack.
It's interesting that they end it on, you know, that note.
Yeah,
it just makes it a little bit more poignant.
Because
if they'd ended it on a bit of a silly, like, oh, whatever, like, yeah. oh, dude, you know, it would have been
a bit quagmire.
Yeah. Whereas, like, they ended on quite a nice, like, it leaves your heart kind of full after it. You know what I mean?
You kind of feel like everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And like, even the stranger saying it is like, makes me good to know that another little Lebowski is coming along out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. You know, like,
yeah.
We didn't talk about
oh,
it, but
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
just the bit where they show up and like the bit in the car where dude is explaining everything to Walter about how it all went down.
Yeah.
He's like, he's sick of a run around town. He's fed up, man.
Yeah.
And like, Walter's like, yeah. Okay. I understand. What about this is an emergency though? He's like, what?
Yeah,
He's like, you said it was an emergency. Like, it's Shabbos.
Shabbos, dude.
I shouldn't be driving on Shabbos. And he's like, what the fuck?
I love how unserious he takes it, but how all of a sudden he's like super serious about the Shabbos.
He's like, I've seen a ton of spinals, man. I bet you this guy walks. Yeah. I'm more sure of anything I've ever been in my life. Yeah. He's like, you're staying away from me, mister.
And based like, on nothing.
He's like, picks him up like, ah.
Just flat.
And then the dog comes over and the little like shove he gives the dog. Yeah, yeah. That's so funny. Like,
But all, you know what? All in all, if I can wrap...
Give us a rating.
...it up, I would say... I'd give it a solid 8.5 out of 10.
8.5?
Yeah.
It's a 10.
Yeah, in your opinion. But I mean, 8.5 is like well, well above average. Mm. I'd happily watch it again. I would recommend it to people. Previously, before this, I might have said 6.5.
Wow.
That would have been my... I would have been walking around with that in my head thinking this is a 6.5 movie. Grand. I don't know if I'd give it a 9.
I think you should give it a 9.
No, I think 8.5. I think 8.5. But really enjoyed it.
Ed Harris Award for excellence in acting?
John Goodman.
Mm.
Just tour de force, the role of a lifetime. Yeah. And he's had some good roles.
Yeah.
How about you?
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
I mean...
Also the role of a lifetime.
I mean, literally changed his career trajectory.
Wow.
I don't think he's been in a movie with short hair since.
Really?
Like, I just...
I can't imagine him with short hair.
Think off the top of my head him having short hair.
Like, yeah.
You know? And he got his Oscar. Actually, you know what? He was bald in Iron Man. I'll give him that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he got his Oscar a few years later. But it was kind of the thing that was like, you know, he'd had a good career before this.
Yeah.
And then this being such a cult movie, it's like, it's Jeff Bridges. You know? Like, you got to get
Jeff Bridges.
Get Jeff Bridges in your movie, like, you know?
And I don't think anyone would have predicted that this... They probably were all going into this thinking like, it's a little stonerish kind of movie.
But it was like, this is the follow-up to Fargo. They won Best Screenplay at the Oscars.
Right, so they were shit hot at this point.
Yeah, Fargo was their... They were shit hot when they started off.
Yeah.
And then they had Hudsucker Proxy in like 94.
Sometime.
And like that was their biggest budget movie. It was like 40 million and made fuck all.
Yeah.
And then it was like Fargo, they went back low and they won two Oscars. And they're like, oh, the Coens, they're back.
They're back.
And then it was like, this is the follow up to Fargo. It's going to be amazing. And it was kind of like this weird,
it's a bit curio. Of a ballsy move to do that after it's such a success.
That's what I like about them. They do their own thing.
They do their own thing. Yeah. Well,
I got some more categories.
Okay, go on.
We got the Sensei Sergio San Carlos, a few small beers, line reading award for best.
It's got to be a Goodman line.
Mm. You know what one I really like for Goodman? He's like, they're going to page me. So whenever, you know, I need to, except between bowling, he's like, our lives do not start and stop for you. You're a good piece of shit.
I'm trying to think what would mine be. I mean, maybe the fuck a stranger in the ass is quite iconic. It's just so unnecessary. Like, I'll go with that one. I can't remember now, but I'm sure there's about 50 lines that I actually properly laughed at. I just can't remember them now.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's very hard to narrow that. I think it is kind of one of the throwaway dude ones. Like, even that, like, the Seattle 7.
Mm.
That was me.
Yeah.
Six other guys. But he lets it hang out there. Like, that was me. Six other guys. You could have, like, even the Donnie stuff, like, I'm the walrus.
Yeah.
And what did Lennon say? Like, who benefits? Like, I'm the walrus. Chiming in, like, I'm the walrus.
Lennon, yeah.
He's like, or Jesus, like, well, fuck you in the ass Saturday, or fuck you in the ass Wednesday. Woo! Yeah.
It's his little emotions and all.
You know, it's there's so many.
Yeah.
I guess if I'm going this time around, I think my favorite one was nothing is fucked. The goddamn plane has crashed into the mountain. And we got some bulldog from Frasier Awards for best one scene performance.
Mirrors.
Mine is John Polito.
Who?
He's a brother Seamus, a private dick. I love your work, man. Playing each other off the other side, in bed with everybody.
I don't remember this at all.
It's the guy that's been following him the whole time.
Frank's
brother from It's Always Sunny.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like, he's who are you working for? Lebowski?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
The Knutsons.
Yeah.
It's a last data job. There's him. You could have Dom Herrera as the guy driving the, you know, Jerry, my nostrils, you know, the prop comic.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you could have Knox Harrington, I think, as well.
It was Knox Harrington.
That's your David Twellis as the one scene.
I go with him. Yeah. I thought he was funny.
I think it's John Polito for me.
Yeah.
You know, the Michael Rispoli Drip King Award for Best Outfit.
It's got to be the dudes.
Which dude? Which one, though? Like,
cause shorts.
That cardigan.
Yeah. No, gown. Ooh. Open gown and shorts, t-shirts and flip-flops or whatever he was wearing.
I'm going dude, but I'm going with the mustard jumper, the slick back hair when they're in the diner where he's like,
oh, yeah,
I'm finishing my coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Forget about the fucking toe.
Yeah.
You know, and he has like the ultra black shades on. Yeah. That, I'm like, ooh, that is a look.
Slick.
Yeah. But thank you for indulging me.
No problem.
This week, yeah, you know.
That's what we do.
If we ever do Coen Brothers, we got fucking,
we got, you know, one done.
Well, we got
this is
our third Coen Brothers movie that we've ever recorded on the podcast.
What else did we do?
Raising Arizona and No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, you know. If you want to hear those, they're on the Patreon, of course, right?
No Country's on the Patreon. I think Raising Arizona is part of our Nick Cage is on main feed.
So just keep scrolling down, you'll find that one. But if you want to hear us talk about movies and want to shape the movies that we talk about, and if you want access to our entire back catalogue that is not just movies, top five, this, favourite, that, music, all the general life, all that sort of stuff, it's all there on the Patreon. Plus you get 2 extra episodes a month, and you get early access to these episodes as well. And if that's not good enough for you, it only costs a mere fiver a month. A coffee a month in Dublin City, probably. But if they can't do that, Terry, what else can they do for us?
They can do it one more better and give me a rating and review. Now, Andy, did you know that Jeffrey Lebowski was set to get a 10% finder's fee of $500,000, which is $5,000? But I don't want 5,000 star review. He just wanted his rug back. I just want a 5-star review.
How does he do it, folks?
Just pluck a number.
Pick a number and go with it.
Yep.
You got it. So, folks, look, thank you very much for indulging both of us in this movie review. And we will be back as normal next week with a general brand of shit talk. And if you want to hear more of this sort of stuff, again, the Patreon is right there.
And if you remember, you know, you can tell us what you want us to cover. €5 a month.
I feel like we plug the Patreon too much.
Never.
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 All right. See you next week.
Bye.
Thanks. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, let me see what they said about this fucking thing.
6:40.
So if we can relay that, can you be more specific about what you would like included?
Myself, I might not take it anymore. Take a woman like your kind to find the man in me. But oh, what a wonderful feeling just to know that you are near. That's my heart a-reeling from my toes. from being seen. But that's just because he doesn't want to turn into some machine. Take a woman like you to get through